We are ready to hear the word of the Lord, and the minister of the gospel who is going to minister to us is none other than a beautiful lady that God gave me way back, that I met way back in 1994 in September. And how many years are those now? Many, many years anyway. And between 1994 and now, so many things have happened. There's been about 4 kids in between there, and they are growing up strong in the Lord. And so I don't even have much to say about my wife. She has been a blessing to me, and she's ministered to me many times. Behind the scenes, when things are going rough, she stood with me, and I just want to say that I appreciate you, my baby. And so I would like to welcome you to this microphone and bring the word of the Lord that he has laid in your spirit. Can you make her feel welcome even as she comes to the microphone? Amen. The First Lady of Empowerment Christian Center. Amen. Glory to Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Boy, oh boy, after that introduction, I don't know where to start from. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for coming into the house of the Lord this day. We thank God because he has brought us into this house with a purpose. And the Bible says that the expectation of the righteous shall not be cut off. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know where the keyboard is this, but there's a song that I want to sing that says, draw me near. Thank you, Lord of glory. Draw me near, nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Come on, rise up with me and sing it if you know it. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Jesus, this is the cry of our heart this morning, Lord. We want to draw nearer to you, Lord of glory. We want to draw nearer to you, O God. For the nearer, Lord of glory, to your nail-pierced hands, O God. Nearer to you that chose us, Lord of glory. Nearer to you that has loved us with an everlasting love. Nearer to you, Lord of glory, that has called us by your name, O God. Draw us nearer to you, Lord of glory. Draw us nearer to you that we may know you, O God. That we may love you as we ought to, Lord of glory. That we may walk with you as we ought to, O God. Father, we surrender our lives to you, O God. We yield our hearts to you, Abba Father. We yield our ways unto you, O God. Nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer to thee, O God. We bless you, Father. Oh, we worship you, O God. Great is your faithfulness, Father. We adore and give glory to you. There is none like unto you, Father. And we can do nothing without you, O God. Father, I ask you, Lord of glory, that even as I minister, Lord, that, Lord, you shall put your word in my mouth, Abba Father. You know the needs in this congregation, O God. And without you, Father, we can do nothing, O God. Speak to your people, Holy Spirit of the living God. Encourage and strengthen your people, Father, to the praise and the glory of your name. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You can have a seat in the presence of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord of glory. Let's go to the book of Numbers 22. Numbers 22. Then the children of Israel moved and camped in the plains of Moab on the side of the Jordan across from Jericho. Are you all in Numbers 22? Now Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was exceedingly afraid of the people because they were many, and Moab was sick with dread because of the children of Israel. So Moab said to the elders of Midian, "Now this company will lick up everything around us, as an ox licks up the grass of the field." And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. Then he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor at Pethor, which is near the river in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, "Look, a people has come from Egypt. See, they cover the face of the earth and are settling next to me. Therefore, please come at once. Curse these people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that him whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you cast is cast." Praise the name of the Lord. We shall continue reading that. Even as I was reading this book, this was Balak, and it was the king of Moab. Now we see the children of Israel, as we all know, it was during the time of Moses, during the time of Joshua, they were moving from one place to another, and the Lord had promised them that he was going to give them the land. He had promised them that every land and every place that they were going to set their foot on, he was going to give it to them. And despite the fact that we know that Israel was not a perfect people, Israel had issues. Israel, you know, we hear of places where Israel was complaining. Israel, you know, was, you know, would turn away from God and sometimes worship other gods. And then God would bring them back to himself, or they would turn back to God. But yet the Lord had marked them out as his people. He had chosen them. He himself had brought them out of the land of Egypt. Praise the name of the Lord. So the Bible says, as we know it, that this was just one of the lands that the children of Israel were passing through. And the Bible says that when they passed through the land of Moab, you know, there was such fear that came upon these people, because every time the people of Israel would get into a nation, there was destruction. God would conquer, you know, the land for them. I mean, there would be mass massacres. There would be, you know, God would just do great things, and would leave that place, you know, trembling with fear because of the name of the Lord. So, you know, when they entered into Moab, the king of Moab had already heard, you know, he had already heard what these guys had done to the Amalekites. He had already heard what he had done to the king of Sihon. He had already heard what he had done to the other nations. So when they entered in, already he had an imagination of what was going to come. I mean, you know, the Lord, when I was looking at this, the Lord was reminding me, you know, sometimes we look down at ourselves. We don't know what we carry within us. You know, the people, the children of Israel, are not different from us, because we are the seed of Abraham. We are the chosen of God. The Bible says that God has called us to be a holy priesthood, a chosen generation, a people belonging to God, his own special people, that we may declare the praises of him that called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we know that the Bible says that once we are not a people, but we have become a people of God. So we should not look down on ourselves. So as the people got in, they had not even done anything. Can you just imagine? They were just walking through. And the Bible says that so much dread fell into that land that the king decided that, I mean, if we look in chapter 2, it says that Moab was sick with dread, literally sick with dread. And the Bible says that Moab, the king of Moab, who was Balak, he decided, now the only thing that I can do is to call a sorcerer. I cannot fight. And he had his own army. He had his own, his own backup. He had everything. He wanted to call upon the other nations that were around him, the neighboring nations. He would have done that. But he decided that the only thing that I can do to minimize this guy's power is to curse them. And you know that who knows that you cannot curse the people of God? The Bible says that whom the Lord has blessed is blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. So the people go on. So and as they entered in, the Bible says that he went on and he sent, verse 7, he said that he sent these elders and they went with the diviner's fee. And who do they go to? They go to Balaam. I thank God because Balaam was a man that feared God. Though he was a sorcerer, though he was a diviner, there's just something about him that had to acknowledge who God was. And though he didn't live a straight life, there was something in him that feared the Lord. So, it's like, so when they sent him, to, when they sent these people to them, the story said that, the people of Israel or Balaam himself, Balaam himself told them, now you guys, okay, what you're going to do because you have come to my place, why don't you do this? Why don't you allow me to ask the Lord what he needs to do in this situation? And the Bible says, if we read in verse 11, and from verse 10, verse 9. Then God came to Balaam and said, who are these men with you? So Balaam said to God, Balak the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, has sent to me saying, look, a people has come out of Egypt, and they cover the face of the earth. Come now, cast them for me. Perhaps I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said to Balaam, you shall not go with them, and you shall not cast the people, for they are blessed. So this was a warning to Balaam, and he told them, you shall not go with them, you shall not cast them. And before that, maybe I can go back a little bit. When Balak was looking at these people, there are two things that the Lord showed me. He said that, when he looked at them, he saw a nation that covered the face of the earth. But we know that when the people of Israel entered into the nation of Moab, there were not as many as that. There were a few, they were just around within that particular area. But to Moab, to Balak himself, it looked like a great nation because God had magnified this nation. God had exalted this nation. And it reminded me of, Elijah or Elisha, when there was an army that came against him, and when he told his servant, that God to open up the eyes of the servant, the Bible says that when his eyes were opened up, he saw a great army around them. And I believe that is what God did at that particular time. So Balak did not only see the people of Israel, but he also saw the multitude and multitude and multitude of angels. He saw the backup of the heavenly host around the people of Israel because the Lord God was with them. So one thing that I want to encourage you this day is that you are not alone in this journey. You are not alone as you walk along in this journey. The Lord is with you. Not only is he with you, his host is with you. The Bible says that the Lord Almighty is with us and that the God of Jacob is with us. We have a strong army behind us, and those that are for us are more than those that are against us, and because of that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. So we continue on, and the Bible says that Balak was not, he was not content. So he ended up sending even another people. And the Bible says that the people that he sent in verse 15, Balak again sent princes more numerous and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and they said to him, thus says Balak the son of Zippor, please let nothing hinder you from coming to me, for I will certainly honor you greatly, and I will do whatever you say to me. Therefore, please come and cast these people for me. Then Balaam answered and said to the servant of Balak, though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord my God and do less or more. That is what he told him, because he had the fear of the Lord. He knew that there's nothing that he could do about this issue. So in 19 it says, now therefore, please you also stay here tonight that I may know what the Lord will say to me. And the Bible says that God told Balaam at night that if the men came to call you, rise and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you, that that shall you do. And the Bible says that Balaam went ahead and he went along with them. But as he went, in verse 22, which raised up a question in me why God had to do that, because he had told him to go. The Bible says that God's anger was roused because he went. And the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. The Bible says, again, I'll read that. The angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. Why did he do that? And there seemed to be the fear of the Lord in him. The Bible says, as we drop down in, you know, down, and we shall read that. That is because there was wickedness in this man Balaam. Though he feared the Lord, there was wickedness in him. And you know, as we read on, will you allow me to just read? It says, and he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing on the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards, with a wall on this side and a wall on the other side. And then the donkey saw the angel of the Lord. She pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went farther and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. Then the donkey saw that the angel of the Lord. She lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was roused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Praise the name of the Lord. Let me tell you, all this time, when all this is going on, the children of Israel did not know what was going on. They were so much at peace. The presence of the Lord was with them. I mean, they were settled, and you know, they had the confidence of God, you know, of the presence of God with them. So even when, you know, when they were going, when all these things were going on, when Balaam Balak and Balaam were planning all these things, you know, the Lord had given them peace. And the children, you know, in the wilderness who were sprawled, they, you know, they did not know the intention of the enemy. But you know what the Lord says? The Lord knows the purposes of the wicked. You know, whatever the enemy may plan for us, it shall not come to prosper. Though the enemy may plant things in our back, it shall not come to prosper, because the Lord's presence is always with us. The people, you know, the Lord was just giving me like an overview. You know, it's like the way you can like be standing up somewhere and then you're looking down, and it's like the Lord was showing me the divine protection that he has given his people. And it does not matter what kind of plan or what anything or anybody would say about you, or anybody would say about your family, or anything that would stand against you, whatever strategy that the enemy would plan. The Lord's protection upon you is so firm. And the Lord's word upon you, when he says that he will go with you, he will go with you. When he says that he will be with you, he will be with you. When he says that he promised to be with you until the very end, he's going to be with you until the very end. It does not matter what. So the Lord showed his faithfulness even at this time. He showed his power and his strength even at this time, when the people of Israel did not even know what was going on. And the Bible says that during that time, when I was reading about the part where, you know, the angel came and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him, I was reminded of let's go to Psalms 35, please. Psalms 35. Psalms 35. The Bible says in Psalms 35, "Plead my cause, O Lord, with those who strive with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for my help. Also draw out the spear, and stop those who pursue me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Let those be put to shame, let those be put to shame and brought to dishonor, who seek after my life. Let those be turned back and brought to confusion, who plot my heart. Let them be like chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord pursue them." And this is exactly what we saw the angel of the Lord doing. The Lord sent his angel, and the Bible says that he stood in the way as an adversary against him. The Lord will send his angels as regards you. They will stand Yes, they will stand in the way as an adversary against the enemy. They will stand in the way as an adversary against the enemy, against your children, as an adversary against the enemy of your job, as an adversary against the enemy of your situation. The Lord will show himself strong because he is faithful. And we know that the Lord, that is exactly what the Lord did. And every time when Balaam was trying to move from this way or that way, he could not move until he was cornered. And the time he was cornered, that is when, you know, the Bible says that the Lord caused the donkey to speak. And I was imagining that, you know, by the time the Lord caused the donkey to speak, and as you read on, you actually find that Balaam was having a good conversation with the donkey. And I mean, Julius, by the time you have a good conversation with a donkey, and you're not asking, did you speak? Oh, you're not even scared about it. You know, it's like he didn't even get shocked. The Bible says, then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me these 3 times? And Balaam said to the donkey, because you have abused me, I wish there was a sword in my hand, and now I would kill you. So the donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey on which you have ridden? You have ridden ever since I became yours to this day. Was I ever disposed to do this to you? And he said, no. I mean, they are talking, they're having a good conversation. So it's like, I was looking at him and saying, this must have been something wrong with Balaam, you know? It's like he was way away, you know, away from the Lord. And definitely he was mad at that particular time. And definitely when I looked at that, the Lord was also reminding me that the Lord had literally, because we see that the Lord opened his eyes, that the Lord had closed the eyes of Balaam so he could not see what was going on. But the donkey would see what was going on. And, you know, the Lord God was putting it in my heart. Let us tell the Lord to open up our eyes so that we may see what is going on around us. Let us not be like Balaam, who was blind to his situation, blind to his circumstances, blind to the things that God is doing in this hour, blind, you know, to what God wants to do in our lives. Let us tell the Lord to open up our eyes that we may see, that we may know what he has for us, that we may know the plans that he has for us, that we may know the plans that he has for our children, that we may know the plans that he has for this church. And the Lord is going to open up our eyes, you know, because the Lord is not a respecter of persons. And the Bible says when he opened up his eyes, that is when he fell prostrate, you know, into the ground. It would be, you know, shame if God can open up the eyes of somebody else to see something else and you're not able to see it. It's good to ask the Lord to open up our eyes so that we can also see what God is doing. And I believe that God also did that so that he could warn him further that he was not going to curse, you know, the people of Israel, because he knew that once he got in the presence of Balak, he had been promised a lot of money. And maybe money, you know, and maybe the wealth that he was being promised would have caused him to move out of the, you know, to change his mind as regards what he had told God he was going to do. And the Bible says, as we read on, that, you know, that during that time or the following day, they went on, and Balaam and Balak went up into the hill. If we go to 23. And Balak said to Balaam, it says, so it was the next day that Balak took Balaam, that is in 41, and brought him up to the high places of Balaam, that from there he might observe the extent of the people. Then Balaam said to Balak, build 7 altars for me and prepare for me 7 bulls and 7 rams. So they did all that and they prepared all that. And Balak told Balaam, why don't you curse the people of God? And the Bible says that when he went to see God as regards what to do, this is the word of God that came to Balaam himself. And it says in verse 8, now shall I curse whom God has not cursed? And how shall I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. There are people dwelling alone, not reckoning itself among the nations. Yeah, that is what he said. How can I cast whom the Lord has not cast? And how shall I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? So no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. It does not matter anything that anybody, because sometimes you are so fearful. Maybe we are not progressing on because of this. Maybe this is happening because this is not happening because of this. But the Bible says that whom the Lord has blessed, he has blessed. And nothing can change that. It doesn't matter what we go through. It doesn't matter our situations. Sometimes things may not look as perfect as they ought to be. Things may not go, you know, go on our way. But the Lord is with us. And his promises are sure. And his promises are yes and amen. The Bible says that he does not change his mind. As we continue in our, if we can just continue. Because the second time he was told, because Balak was so mad, you know, why didn't you cast these people? And there's something that, you know, Balaam went back to seek the face of the Lord. And this is what the Lord told him. And this is in verse 19. Let's read verse 19. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? Has he not spoken and will he not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, I cannot reverse it. That is what the Lord says. And that is, this is not only to the children of Israel. This is also a word for each one of us. The Bible says that God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and he will not do it? What has the Lord promised in your life? What has he said as regards, you know, your situation? You know, what has he said as regards your circumstances? The Bible says that he is not a man that he should lie. He will do it. He didn't, the Bible, you know, we all know there's a saying that says that delay is not denial. And one day is like, 1,000 days is like what? Is it like one day in the presence of God? It is like one day. It may take a long time, but the Lord surely will come through at his own time. He is faithful to do that which he has promised. So I just encourage you, you know, people of God, let us continue holding on to the Lord. Let us continue being faithful to the Lord, because even as we continue being faithful to the Lord, his word will come to pass. He is faithful to watch to what he has spoken, and he will make good. He will make good of that which he has said in our lives. Praise the name of the Lord. Why don't we go to the book of Joshua? Joshua chapter 22, verse 45. 22:45. Purity, if you get it before me, you can read it for me. 45. There's no 45? Are you serious? Julius, I need to check. Yeah, 22. Hold on. Yeah. Actually, maybe before we read that, let's first go to Joshua 23, okay? Joshua 23, and then we shall read 22. It says, Joshua 23 from verse 1. It says, you want to read? Mm-hmm.
Remember how I have allotted as an inheritance for your tribe all the land of the nations that remain, the nations I conquered between the Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea in the west. The Lord your God himself will push them out for your sake. He will drive them out before you, and you will take possession of their land, as the Lord your God promised you. Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, without turning aside to the left or to the right. Do not advocate to these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the name of your God or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them, but you are to hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have until now.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, so we see Joshua. Actually, it is Joshua's farewell. And he came to the children of Israel during that time when he was old. And, you know, he was reminding them of the faithfulness of God. He was reminding them that it was God that had fought the battle for them. And he says that, you know, he was telling them that, and the Lord your God, you know, it's like it was God himself who had fought for them. As you see in chapter 3, you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. And then if we go to verse 14 of that scripture, it says, behold this day, I am going the way of all the earth, And you know in all your hearts that in and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. Not one of them. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. Praise the name of the Lord. Joshua is old at this time. Joshua, you know, if we read from Joshua chapter 1, we see that's when the Lord was encouraging Joshua, you know, be strong, be courageous. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will be with you. I will fight for you. And if we look through the book of Joshua, we see the battles that Joshua had to fight. We see God's conquest, you know, through all these battles. We see God leading the people of Israel, you know, through the wilderness and, you know, fighting for them. And the Bible says at the end of everything, Joshua looked back and reminded the children of Israel, there is not one thing. If you can remember everything that the Lord spoke, not one thing of what the Lord, you know, all that, read that. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. Not one thing has failed. And the Lord was reminding me that everything that he has spoken as regards my life, everything that he has spoken as regards your life, not one thing is going to come to fail. Not one word of his is going to come to fall to the ground. You know, it is only the times when we depart from the will of God, because there is something that Joshua said. If we look in verse 8, it says, but you shall hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day, you shall hold fast to the Lord your God. That is the prerequisite. Do you want to see the faithfulness of God to the very end? Do you want to be like Joshua in the very end, when he was old, when he did not have enough strength, but you'd look back and see the faithfulness of God despite everything that they had gone through, and see God giving them the lands, you know, as he did? The Bible says that hold fast toward the Lord, to hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this very day. And you know, he was telling them that to depart from the gods who are, you know, of the people who are around them, but to seek the Lord and to serve the Lord. And that is the promise that God has even for us to this day. The Lord wants us to seek him. The Lord wants us to serve him. The Lord wants us to yield our hearts to him, because he promises that not one of the promises is going to fail, but he is faithful to the very end. And the Lord was reminding me, what are the things that cause us, you know, to cause the promises of God to fail in our lives? What are the things that cause us not to receive the promises of God? Because his promises are yes and amen. And one of the things that causes us not to receive from the Lord is fear, and it is doubt. You know, when we doubt God, when we fear that he's not going to do that which he promised that he's going to do. You know, the Lord was reminding me, if we can read from the book of Hebrews chapter 10, 35. Sorry, I have so many verses. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Hebrews 10, 35. Purity, again, if you get it before me, you can read it.
So don't throw away your confidence, which has a great reward.
Praise the name of the Lord. Yes, and also if we read from Hebrews chapter 3, verse 19. Hebrews 3, 19.
So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief.
Yeah, praise the name of the Lord. Yeah, the Bible says that the children of Israel were not able to enter into the land. There are some that entered in, but there are some that did not enter in. And we know that the children of Israel who were with Moses at that particular time, who were over the age of 20, they did not enter the land because of unbelief. They did not enter the land because they did not trust the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord's promises are sure, and the Lord's promises are faithful. And he promises that he will do that which he has promised that, you know, he's going to do in our lives. Only he asks us that we hold on to him. Only he asks us that we believe that he's going to do that which he has promised in our lives. That he is able, to do exceedingly, abundantly above that which we can ask or imagine. And if, you know, he says that we hold on to the confession of our faith without wavering, because he that promised is faithful. He that promised, he is able. And it doesn't matter how much, you know, what kind of a thing that the Lord, or what kind of a thing stands before you. Because during that time of Joshua, during that time of Moses, there were so many giants.
There are so many things that were standing before them. There were so many circumstances and issues that were going to intimidate them. You know, there were so many, sometimes they would get into a land and the land was full of giants. Sometimes they could enter into the land and they were not sure whether they would make it. Sometimes they would go through hunger. Sometimes they would go through lack. But you know, in all these things, God was with them. In all these things, God was faithful. And God kept his side of the word. You know, God will keep his side of the word. God is faithful. He will not, you know, he will not put to shame his word. The Bible says that he watches over his word to perform it. You know, it doesn't matter what. The Bible says that if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful. You know, he will do that which he has purposed to do. He will be faithful to that. And he watches over his word to perform it. So he calls us to be faithful. He calls us to be obedient. He calls us, you know, to do that which we need to do. You know, let us seek him as we need to seek him. And if we go to Joshua chapter 1, let's just go to Joshua chapter 1 as we wind up. Praise the name of the Lord. Joshua chapter 1. This is what the Lord told Moses Joshua, as they were starting. And I believe that this is, you know, this is also for us. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet will trend upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea, you know, and on and on. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you, nor will I forsake you. But be strong and of good courage. For to these people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give you. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Then it says in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Praise the name of the Lord. And these are my words to you, even, you know, as we wind up, that be strong and of good courage. The land and the things that the Lord has promised for you, they are vast. The Bible says that the thoughts that the Lord has for you, they are more than the sands of the ocean. And the Bible says that the plants, you know, he shall thwart the plants of the wicked. But the plans of God are from everlasting to everlasting. And his plans are eternal, you know, as regards you. So, you know, when we think about the goodness of the Lord, you know, it's good for us to, you know, to hold on to the Lord. Just be strong and very, very courageous. Do not be moved by your situations. Do not be moved by your circumstances. But just hold on to God, because he that called you into fellowship with his son Jesus, he is faithful. He that began that good work in you, he is able to complete it even unto the end. He that brought you into fellowship with his son Jesus Christ, he is faithful. He is faithful to do that which he has, you know, he has promised. And the Lord says that he will perfect all that concerns you. It doesn't matter whatever pertains to life. The Bible says he will perfect it. He will perfect everything that concerns you. You know, only believe in the Lord. Only trust in him. Only, you know, put, you know, as the Bible says, only read the book, you know, the word of God. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Let the meditation of his word, let the word of God reside in you. You know, meditate upon it day and night. Let the Lord be the first in your lives. And even as you put the Lord in front of everything that you do, the Lord is going to show himself strong in your situation. What I encourage you this day is that the Lord is for you. And if God is for you, then who can be against you? If the Lord was able to watch over the Israelites, and even, you know, give a testimony of them, even to Moab, to the king of Moab, even when the Israelites did not know anything about what was going on, if the Lord was able to deliver them, if the Lord was able to show them strong, and every nation that they went through, you know, he was able to conquer it for them, who are you in the eyes of God. You are the child of God. Above all things, He sent His only begotten Son to die for you on the cross. You are called by the name of the Lord. The Lord is faithful. He will carry you through. Doesn't matter what you go through. Doesn't matter the situation. Doesn't matter how big it is. The Lord is faithful and He is going to show Himself strong. Praise the name of the Lord. God bless you so much.
Hallelujah.